And reading the Lord's word once again. And we come to a new psalm. And it's something that we want to learn how we can practice. Okay? And it's an interesting thing to... okay? Now, well, let's pray together and then ask the Lord's blessings. Our Father, we pray that you will grant to us your grace and your wisdom to understand how we can read your word and interpret it correctly. And so we pray for that measure of grace and mercy to fathom how to read it meaningfully. Pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We come across a text that is a little bit challenging. Okay, this is where we have the superscription. Right? Now, this is a real problem. Now, what is a superscription? A superscription is something that the compiler, the chronicler, the person who and he notes these things were written that may help you to understand the circumstances in which a psalm, a historical psalm, may be written. Right? Now, the challenge is to find the connection rather than a disconnect. Where is the connection? Now, that is important for us to take note of. Right? This was a time when you begin to realize that David was running away from King Saul. Right? Where would he go? He cannot stay in Israel. If he stays in Israel, he's going to get killed. Obviously. So where would the best place to run? So this is called frying pan into the fire. So he figured that the best place to go to would be enemy territory. Now, this is, you're not thinking very much. Right? First, you go and fight with the Philistines, you humiliate them, you kill their champion. Right? Now you got trouble from King Saul and you want to go to their territory. How are you going to get away with it? Now, David may be wise in some aspects. He's not always wise in every aspect. This is one of those times when he really, really wasn't very, very wise about the whole thing. So this is your circumstances. Right? So there he was. And then when he was caught, he pretended madness. They thought this is the best way to get out. So this is what happened. Now, many years ago, there was a movie made of a book. And it was entitled, now this is long before your time, for those of you. It was entitled, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, those the older ones, you you understand. The younger one, what's that? It's real cuckoo. Now, a cuckoo is a bird. But the word cuckoo is also a word that describes your nuts. Right? So it was a very, very, very tough time. What do you do? And he was trying to get out of the camp that he was in, military camp. So he was a POW. He tried every way to get out. Every attempt failed. Dig the tunnel, failed. Trying to rush out, failed. And every time you fail, you get literally severely punished. So he decided on a plan. I am going to pretend madness. And if I pretend madness, maybe they will bot me out.
Which means to say that he has to be literally appear to be man. They will test you. Right? They will test you. Now, there are all kinds of jokes made about this type of things here. Don't know. There was one person who was saying, so he told his friend, okay, I can help you to get out. See, I shine my torchlight. Then you climb on the beam. then you get out. And his friend said, I'm not going to do it. What, you think the beam is not strong enough? No. It's not the beam, it's you. That's how I climb out halfway, then you switch off. Now, you really have to play the part. Now, you have to understand this. So he tried to play the part. In other words, so when he is medically examined by the doctors, he must know how to play the part of being a cuckoo. Then sometime they will test him. He's alone or with friends. Unguarded moments. The moment you have an unguarded moment, chances are you're not. You don't know whether you ever watched the MASH series. There's one called Corporal Klinger. And he's forever trying to get out. And everybody knows that he is not crazy. He just wants to get out. But this one tried very, very hard. Many, many months later, they took him out of the prison camp. They certified him mad. And all his friends were happy for him. Well done. You managed to get out. Problem. That madness was now real. He did get out, but mentally he never recovered. So please do not attempt this. Okay? So I'm just telling you, I'm saying all this to you to tell you what not to do. Now we look at Psalm 34. The lessons he learned from it. Right? So this is an important thing for us to actually understand this. Now, when did he say, I will bless the Lord? Not during the days of Abimelech. Okay, this is not during the time. This is looking back. This is looking way back and say, you know, really, really thank God. Not during the time when he was just blessing the Lord. That's his real madness. I'm blessing the Lord. You whack me, I'm blessing the Lord. He's dribbling, I'm blessing. No, that is not. That's not. This is not an honorable part of David's life at this point of time. Okay? But so when Psalm 34 was written finally, then you look backwards. Okay? But not during the time when he was there. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. Now, how does this work out? And this is important for us. What do we mean by the word bless? Anyway, now, the word bless and the word praise are very similar. They're really, really much more similar than you think. But there is a difference. Okay, now, look at, let's take a look and we'll see the idea of the word bless. Let's look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, right? Where Paul said, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the same idea. Now, this idea of bless, I will bless the Lord at all times, became a standard stock phrase of all Jews. Every time they mention God's name, they often come up with the next phrase, blessed be his name. So it became a standard. Every time, they will always praise the Lord's name. Every time they mention, they will say, they want to make reference to God, they will say, bless his holy name. So it became a standard stock phrase. You see what I'm trying to say? See, we all mention God's name. But it's not a stock phrase for us. It's just simply you mentioned. But amongst the old pious Jew, they will always add this phrase, blessed be God. His blessings, blessed be God. All the time, it became a typical phrase. So this idea of I will bless the Lord at all times became a practice amongst the Jews. Right? So any mention of the Lord, bless the Lord. That is how you want to understand this idea of I will bless the Lord at all times, part of it. So that's the distinction between praise and bless. Right? So what is the difference between the idea of praise and the word bless? Not exactly the same. The word bless in Ephesians 1 in verse 3 is where we have the word eulogy. This is where it comes from. Okay? So eulogy. Literally, you is good. Good words. Right? So Eugene. Not that his genes are better, but it literally has the idea of this is a good beginning. It's from the word Genesis. So a good beginning. May you have a good beginning, Eugene. That is the idea of it all. So a eulogy. Right? So, you know, we celebrate, we call it the Lord's Supper. The Anglicans and the Roman Catholics, they call it the Eucharist. Right? They call it the Eucharist because it comes from the word, I give thanks. Eucharist, same idea. Right? So Eucharist, eulogy, and they come together. It's, the idea is to learn how to bless the Lord. So the idea of blessing the Lord is not just simply, I bless the Lord. No, 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 no. You got to find the best of words to bless the Lord's name with. So the idea here, when you say, I will bless, there are choice words found. Absolutely important. Okay, there was this young man trying to impress his girlfriend. And he brought her out to a moonlight walk and said these words. Now, he's not very skilled. The relationship didn't last very long. He says, when I look at her, the moon is round, and so are you. Finish. That is not eulogy. That is stupidity. That is suicide. And that is how it went. So that is not going to go. Okay? So, little jokes. I talk to my little grandchildren. So, how do you know the moon is poor? When, you see, it only happens, you can only say that kind of thing in America. When it comes to its last quarter. See, we don't have a quarter, so it doesn't work. But they have quarters. So when it comes to its last quarter, you know, the last 25 cents, now that's how it works. But see, this, so you're going to find the idea of the word eulogy. It's a beautiful word. So when you say, I will bless the Lord, it cannot be just simply a matter of, I will bless the Lord. You've got to find the right words. That was my challenge, to write in poetry. The whole idea of it all is to find the right words, to find the most beautiful words to give praise to God. That is how you bless the Lord. Right? So this is the psalmist's understanding. Remember, there is a far cry from what he experienced in Psalm 34. Right? So as he looked back at that period of his life, one, he was in serious trouble. Right? He could have lost his life. King Saul could have killed him. To step into enemy territory is literally out of the frying pan into the fire. He could have lost his life too. So he pretended madness. But it was not the madness pretended that saved his life. It was the Lord. That's why he said, I will bless the Lord. Right? So it's not his own devices. Unfortunately, I was reading once, this person was saying, you know, we should follow David. So if things go bad, you may pretend madness. And then God will, that is absolute nonsense. But it's not how it works. Okay? So he's looking backward and then he says, I will bless the Lord. How, what is it all about? So three thoughts that must come to our mind. One, to bless is to honor the Lord. It must be that way. Two, to bless is to bring glory to Him. Now, this is absolutely important and something that we want to look at. So as I was teaching in Bethel last week, and I took the whole Gospel of John, and I said, these are the characteristics of how Jesus lived his life. So I single out all the things that characterize the life of Jesus, one of which was to glorify the Lord. That is to bless the Lord. So it's not just verbal. I'm saying it with one intent. I want to bring glory to God. That is the whole idea. And of course, is to praise Him. So hidden behind the word bless would be these three things. What I say must honor Him. Two, what I say must glorify Him. Three, what I say must praise Him. And that is absolutely important. Right? So these are important things for us to consider. Right. Now, we have understood that, but the challenge is really much harder than you think. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That is the hard part. It is the continually part. That is going to be really, really quite challenging. Right? So how do we understand this? How do we praise the Lord continually? Right? We are going to celebrate 46 years of the goodness of the Lord. Are you tired yet? See, some people are 6 years already tired. Let's not talk 6 years. We're talking 46 years. Are we tired yet? Nope, I'm not tired. Why should I be? Think about this. Well, that's what it is. You see, the challenge is, so, okay, I understand it. How do I practice it? What's my challenge? I want to be able to do it continually. That is not an easy thing to do, but let's try. I will bless the Lord continually. So every year I do a special 5-stanza wall poem for Bethel. So I met down there with them and said, okay, I'm going to do this. So, you know, every year, that is something that I want to attempt to do. You never get to read that unless you go there. Then you can see all the things which are there. See, what are you going to do? Continually, all the time. That's the challenge. Right? I want to be able to do it. So next week will be Bible study next week. Probably next week will be in Myanmar. Otherwise, we won't have it here because we can continually, all the time, teaching the Lord's Word again and again. And another, we come back, end of August, we are going to have another retreat. Continually. Things to study. Things to ponder over. Things to learn. Continually. Same. Blessing the Lord's name. Continually. And believe me, it is not easy. Try. You see it as a challenge. All the time. Continually. I was walking in town one day, you know, just to see, and then there was an Aborigine there. He was cold, And she had no shoes. And there was this thing called the care center, which she obviously didn't believe in. Nobody's caring for her. And she found a metal rod. And the building had glass. She took the metal rod. There I'm watching her. From here to the... See, how near am I? Here to there. I'm here to the clock. She took it. She didn't care I was there. She took it and she threw it at the care center. And the glass broke. And of course, the alarm bells rang. Right? And I was going to walk there. If the policeman came along, I was there. He might even suspect that I did it. So I have to look as innocent as I can. And, you know, if they were to check me, I would say, go and check the fingerprints. My fingerprints are not there. But, you see, she is frustrated. She is angry. She is upset. She's not going to bless the Lord. Our challenge is to bless the Lord continually, no matter what. And I was there that week, and I was reading the newspapers. They have this thing called a helpline. And it's open to all children, young people. From age 10 to 17, you can call anytime you wish. In 1 year, they recorded 12,000 helpline calls, all of them suicide cases. What happened? Why would anybody want to think of suicide? Because it's harsher than you think. So the newspapers describe, what is city life in Perth right now? He says, in the evening, you have nothing but a lot of meth zombies walking around. Where is the praise? See, our challenge is to find praise in our hearts. I will bless the Lord at all times. Try it. Morning, get up. Bless the Lord's name. Afternoon, when the things are going, bless the Lord's name. This is not cuckoo. This is correct. Unfortunately, we don't know how to do this. At nighttime, when you end the day, can you bless the Lord at all times? Praise shall continually be in my mouth. You serious? Yes. I think this is something that you want to think about very, very carefully. That not an easy thing to understand, but you know, we're gonna try. Okay? On Sunday I was coming back and just walking to the airport area and then waiting for the plane to go off, and I was walking there and then suddenly they get a bit dizzy. Now, I don't know what happened. But this, that can happen. Well, what are you going to do? What's the best thing to do? Always the Lord. Always to praise Him. Right? So this is something that we must never be afraid of attempting. Try it. It makes a lot of difference. It will change your whole approach towards life and your faith in the Lord. How can we do this? Now, this is something that you want to do this, okay? What makes a person able to do this? Sheer gratitude. Really thank God for what the Lord has blessed us with. We were in 20 Jalan Lakum, right? And then we are now here all these years. How can we be not grateful? I mean, how can we not be grateful? There it is. So gratitude is what fuels the desire to just praise God. Look at where we were. Look at where we are. Look at what the future is like. See, you're just thankful. You're just grateful for whatever we have. Unfortunately, we don't know how to do this. All right? Well, that is our challenge. Okay? So his praise shall continually be in our. Make gratitude a natural part of your life. And you will make a lot of difference. Make gratitude a commitment. And you will find that it is there always to help you, to encourage you. And you can end up praising the Lord along these lines. Okay? Now, let's go on to the next level. So we've established we want to bless the Lord. We've established that we want to praise Him continually. Now, the next word is the word boast. Now, today, the word boast is almost negative zone. But it's not. It really is not. Right? So later on, you will read in Nehemiah. Nehemiah will tell the Lord, please remember all the good things I've done. You know? He's not boasting. He's stating facts. This is what it is. Right? So how do we understand this? The best thing to do, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The word boast is not a bad word in itself. Paul uses it in his epistles. But the best word to translate this word is the word to glory. This is Jeremiah 9. Let him who glories, glory in this. Not in his might, not in his riches, but that he knows me. This is the word boast. Right? So don't boast about the things that we have or don't have. Right? So this is nice. Some days I go to hospital and they take my weight. Oh, and then weight, I say, how come two doctors, the weight so different? How can be one kg different? Why? Anyway. But then there's a part that I never quarrel with when they take my height. Right? And I always like, they say, your height is 1.72. I say, yeah, really? It's not. I don't know what they measure it by, but they just, you know, this thing, they touch the hair and then it's, you know, I like those ones. But when it comes to one, place it on there. I'm back to less than 1.72. Why? What does it bother? I mean, you look at all, everybody tall except you. I mean, you look at it, BK tall, you tall, everybody tall, me not so tall. I mean, you know, everybody, whatever. You always, I don't know why, but this is so important. The people like to boast, but some people in Scandinavian countries, you don't walk. Don't you see a lot of top people? Don't walk there. Let them pass. Let them walk you. Otherwise, you really are short. How's the world down there? That's how tall. Because you don't even come up to their shoulder, and there it is all 2 meters. People. Oh man, what they call Vikings. But we don't have, our soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Let the glory be in the Lord. Not in riches, not in might, not in knowledge, in wisdom, but in the Lord. This is Jeremiah 9. This is wonderful. We learn. What is our glory? Can we glory in what God has blessed us with? Yes. But not in ourselves. Our glory is in not what we are doing or what we have done. Our glory is in the Lord and how He has blessed, how He has kept us, and so on and so forth. And that's absolutely important. You see, the problem to me is what we call pseudo-humility. Pseudo-humility is when somebody praises you, and no, no, no. And if people don't mention it, why you never mention it?
You see, so this is called pseudo-humility, and that is, to me, terrible. Why don't we just simply state it what it is? There's nothing wrong with stating it. But remember, as long as it is in the Lord. So let not a wise man glory in his wisdom, not a mighty man in his might, not a rich man in his wealth. You want a glory? Glory that you know the Lord. There is our boast, that we know the Lord. Right? So this is how, it's all part of learning to bless the Lord. So it's not, I raised my hand. Why you raise your hand for? Nobody even knows why you raise your hand for. Tell me why you raise your hand. Nobody knows. There are many reasons why this hand raising is done. One of which we don't even understand. When you raise your hand, right? In America, put your hand around, raise your hand slowly. Because you put your hand around, they think you got a gun, they will shoot you. No weapons in your hand. So when they go to the US, we slowly get out. Don't learn something. And those areas, those are first street, second street, 50th street, stop. Don't go beyond 50th street. The quality of the housing drops every street after. So we always tell them, whatever happened, put your hands very carefully up. In the past, when you raise your hands up, you're saying to the Lord, I have clean hands. My hands are not streaked by blood. It's clear, holy, clean hands. That is why we raise the hands. Then, of course, one is an appeal. Rather than every time, the person is already off. I have no idea why the person is off. Sorry, I hope you understand. See, there's a lot of theology behind this. But a lot of people don't have the theology behind it. They have the hand part. They have the raising part. Why? I don't know, but everybody does it. I'm not doing it. I hope you understand what we are talking about, you see? So now they have got this wave offering. Wow, Lord, waving to you. Then there's this clap offering. Let's give a clap to the Lord. And after a while, we get all kinds of ridiculous ideas as to how to go about it. Let's learn how to do it using the Lord's way. I will bless the Lord. Choice words. Right? So when Neil Armstrong said, one small step of man, a giant leap for mankind, and it is immortalized. There was a second man who also went down there, and all he said was, wow, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And nobody remembered those words because, see, it's not eulogistic kind of speaking. It just happened to be, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's correct, it's beautiful. But why would anybody remember a statement like that? See, that is the challenge of it all, your logistic part of it all that you want to understand and appreciate. See, so when we speak about boasting in the Lord, it's not boasting as in, we did this, we achieved that. It's not. Right? That's not the point of it all. It's just simply to rejoice. The idea of boasting has these elements, five things. One, it is to rejoice greatly. We can rejoice in a small manner, or you can rejoice greatly. The word boast is greatly. That is the whole idea. Number two, it is to glorify the Lord. Okay, later on he will talk about it. He will to magnify the Lord, to honor him, to exalt him. Now, these are the elements of the idea of glorying in the Lord. Now, you've got to watch what happens. And this is absolutely important for us, okay, to appreciate this. The humble shall hear of it and be glad.
Right? So it is important for me to tell Bethel, you know, we started off just like you in a small little church. And you have, in fact, Bethel in terms of land size is bigger than Bethany here. We just went up. They just went across. We're happy for them. So the humble will be made glad. They hear it, wow. It's not boasting. It is just looking at it. You recognize it. The humble hear it and they cannot help but rejoice in it. Now, Bhaskaran, in first Sunday, August, they have a Bethany Sunday. So I ask, you know, what is Bethany Sunday? They celebrate our anniversary there. So I said, well, what do you do there? He says, Pastor, we just thank God for Bethany. We sing the songs of Bethany. We remember how God has blessed Bethany. And as a result, we are blessed. And we all ask everybody to bring something to eat together so that we eat like Bethany. So I told him, I said, good for you, go for it. I mean, why not? Right? This is a very creative way of celebrating. I was wondering how they're going to do it. But you know what? This is something to be happy about. The humble church here, and they will be glad. Because we choose gladness. Right? So we, next month, we will have a whole four Sundays together. We will learn to worship the house, worship together as one family. We must not lose sight of it. Right? So this is important for us to understand. So one person has been attending our church. Now he just made himself known, but he went to Bethel. He said, I've been coming to church. You know, Pastor, I really don't always understand you. But here in Bethel, I understand you. How come? So I tell him very frankly, I simplify my messages. I have to. He said, oh, okay, I hear you. I'm not going to simplify things for you. I'm going to take you to another level. But not at Bethel. So to the humble shall hear and be glad. Right? So this is how this idea of blessing the Lord's name becomes important for us. And it is something that you want to consider. So this idea of boasting in the Lord or glorying in the Lord. Remember, it's not about your boasting about yourself. Far from it. It is simply about the Lord, about His grace, His mercy, His blessings. How can we deny the glory that is the Lord's to have a building like this? Not many churches are a 9-story building. One day there was a workman who came by and he asked, all the floors for church? I was very strange. I said, yeah, of course. All. Every floor. You don't rent out to other people. We could not enough space. You want to rent out? He said, yeah, but my church, we don't do that. We only have a small office and every part available, we rent out to other people. No, thank you. Easy to rent out. Very hard to kick them out. You can't. I hope you understand this. You see, these things are obviously the Lord's doing, the Lord's blessing. And if we don't bless the Lord, we don't magnify His name, we don't praise His name, what are we doing? How can we not sing His praise? Right? I mean, this is something that we really, really want to do, and we want to wax lyrical. I am a reader of Holocaust books, I must tell you. And I just read another one during the week. about a medical doctor who lost his practice. He was German citizenship. But when they found out that he was actually Jew, no matter how German you look, no matter if your citizenship, your whole practice will collapse. And it was a very sad collapse. He went into a concentration camp. In his 6 days, he died. And he was a cardiologist. He's a big practice. And it was a very sad thing. And a story was told of how the wife and the two daughters survived. And it was many, many years of suffering. The two girls were separated. One went to Cuba, one went over to France, and later on in a prison camp. You know, anyone who tells a story, it's just so absurd. You cannot but understand this. Right? Hitler was married for one day. Eva was his wife's name. The very next day, he tells all his followers, "We've lost the battle." The next day, committed suicide. He did not die alone. 700 people committed mass suicide with him. That is a shocking tale of those things, you know. And they all made a commitment that they would die with him. They cannot face the shame of it all, loss. That's very sad. How we must praise the Lord. Amidst all the terrors and the horrors and the challenges and the problems of life, our challenge is to really, really bless the Lord. Now, it's interesting to see this. The wife of this doctor was called Amanda. And this is her way of, she knows a lot of all the technical names of all the flowers and plants, botany. And she would tell the children all the botanical terms for all the things. That's how she keeps saying. You know how she actually keeps her spirit alive? In a time of war, she looked for pink dahlias, and it reminded her of beauty. But they are very sensitive things. They change color very quickly. And she would go to the florist and say, "I want you to pick." And though they were, they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. And that's how she picks, uses her mind to pick the things which will help her to stay alive. And that's how it is. How do you keep a memory alive? How do you keep the children alive together? And every day, she tore a whole lot of pages from a notebook. And so she told the daughter, "When I finish writing all the pages, we will meet again." It was a hope. It would take years and years and years and years, long after the war has ended. Now that is, how do we keep it alive? One of the ways in which we can keep something precious alive is to praise, is to bless, is to magnify. Make it a part of your life, and this faith that we have in the Lord will always be alive. If we don't, you'll find that faith goes flat before you know it. And that is dangerous. Don't let it go that way. There will be happy days. It's easy to praise the Lord in those days.
There will be hard times. What do you do? Keep that faith alive. Learn to bless the Lord. Not an easy thing until it becomes in you continually. And this is what we read. Who practices things like that? I think that's something we want to do. Well, the psalmist did. Many of the psalms, they are just really songs of praise. They are skillfully written, very well written, eulogistic in every sense of the word. I think that is absolutely important for us. Did the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. He says, his thanksgiving. And he says, he gave thanks. When the disciples came to tell him about their success, he gave thanks. He says, I give thanks that you have opened your word to these who are babes. But you've hidden it from those who think that they're wise. Giving of thanks is a practice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, certainly, giving thanks. So we are in the best of company when we learn how to give thanks. I think the best thing to do is to realize that the humble can hear, they can learn, and they can be glad. So when we talk about the Lord, we glory in the Lord. We speak of what the Lord has done. It is not about bringing glory to ourselves. That is not at all the case. The challenge is to speak about the Lord. Really? And it is something that we can attempt to do. Right, so make praise, and I like what the psalmist says, what Solomon says. Wisdom will make the face shine. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Literally, I mean the face shine. You don't need to have shine, you have to be go up to the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, and then you shine. It's not about painting your face either. It's about understanding how the face will shine because you seek to glorify the Lord. You watch. When a person is really happy, not only watch the face, it just the person just blossoms out. And a person who is dark and somber, you watch. Oh, the person's soul is so dark. Now, once I was a bit stunned. I mean, this person, before he came to know the Lord. And he was a Sai Baba man. So I was up there. He was invited to church and I was there at the pulpit. Then after I came down, I spoke to him. He said, Pastor, I'll tell you something, okay? You know, your aura is golden, you know. Don't speak about things like that. You see, they are trained to see auras, whatever it is, right? Now, he doesn't speak about that anymore. Now he's come to know the Lord. Speak about the Lord, not about the person. That is the challenge, right? And so this is absolutely wonderful. And when we magnify the Lord's name like that, you have no idea how many people will be lifted up because you speak of the Lord. And this is absolutely important. Right? So you have no idea how many hearts can actually be encouraged along the way if we learn to magnify Him, we learn to make a boast in Him, we learn to bless His name, we learn to praise. It will be very, very challenging, very, very different. They will hear and their hearts are made glad. Right? So this is what is a real call for us in the month of August, right? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You cannot do it alone.
It has to be a together experience. And everyone finds this is how we can contribute, large and small. That is so important. I met one man there. He had an operation. They're actually old people. They are retired. Now, that was pretty amazing. They're called John and Beth. And they're not rich people. They're really not rich people. So one day, I noticed them, and they had a station wagon. And winter time, they put that coffee, tea, sandwiches, that they stood down there, they opened up, and all the poor people came to them. And they fed them. Say, wow. And more people got into the act. Right? So they call it manna. Their mistake was when people wanted to come in, corporations began to come in. And then they said to him, you be our picture, our poster boy and girl. They're old, in their 70s. But we run the show. At the end of it all, they left the ministry. Because it's now a corporate thing. Their original desire to help people is gone. It's now a corporate machine. So you think that that's it? Oh, no. So now what are they doing? They are helping the homeless. What? Serious? He said, yes. So they see people, they help the homeless, and then they try to give them blankets, they hire to help them, and this and that. They're not rich people. He was in more of an odd job labor kind of a person. They just recently, on Sunday, I met him. I said, what happened to your eye? He said, I lost my eye. I will have a glass eye later on put in. Next time you see me, it will be a glass eye. He couldn't pay for the operation. One of the church people paid for him. And yet they are helping people. He said, Pastor, you know the story, right? The Bible says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. He said, John, you just had a major operation. You took their eye out, and this is what you say to me. Whoa! That is serious stuff. I wanted to bring them to our family camp. Problem is that they are very frail. I'm afraid they will just collapse, and all the walking around. So they're just physically very frail. But, you know, and they are just so full of praise and life inside them. Isn't that what it should be? They are not happy because they've got money. They don't. They are not happy because they got health. They don't have that. They are so happy all the time. He said, Pastor, my greatest joy is to tell somebody. You know who they work with? The homeless. They're whites. They're Caucasians. They work with the Aborigines. And they actually, the Aborigines don't listen to too many people, I must tell you. But they will listen to this lady. They call her mother. If there's any dispute or anything, they will ask her. And she will be there to tell them about the Lord. They're not theologians. They're not wealthy people. They're not even the most wise people around. But the joy of the Lord is theirs. Oh, I think that's wonderful. Now, I'm praying that, you know, as long as I have breath, I want to praise the Lord. This is a goal. This is an aim that I put for myself some years ago. As long as I have breath, I am going to praise the Lord. no matter what. Not an easy thing to attempt, but I would rather fail trying than to go around with a face that is sullen, angry, upset all the time. I want this face to shine at all times. Okay, and I don't use makeup for any of these things here. It's just going to be internal shine. It's just going to be, is it possible? Yes. Put some value into the face. Not much value there. A smile adds a little bit more value. Without it, it's really not much value. If my face is my fortune, it's a very small fortune. You add a little bit more and bring it a little, make it worthwhile, a little bit more worthwhile. Let's learn to bless the Lord. Let's learn to praise the Lord. Okay? Well, let's try and do this. Is it possible? Well, tonight we're going to attempt a song which I thought was very fitting. Now, when you come across this phrase here, okay, I just want to help you to pronounce it. Okay? The word should be, let's say, this hymn says, bless be the name. Can we just have it on? 103. Okay? So when you use this word, you mustn't call it blessed be the name, okay? It's only when singing. But in spoken, right? So when you say bless be, it's positive. But when you split it, not in a song, you call it the blessed thing, it's a negative name, idea. Oh, I hope you understand, right? So if I have a blessed book, I have a blessed whatever, that is the word blessed. But let's say I broke a cup today. I had a blessed cup. That is a small swear word. Don't use it. Okay? So just get it right. So when you say that blessed Samuel, it means that you have something against him. That's why you say that blessed Samuel. But we say blessed, this Samuel is so blessed, correct. But you say blessed, the meaning changes completely. You know? So be careful. So I've seen people, I've heard people say, blessed, you know, please don't. Okay? However, in a song like that, because they split, you know, thing, so blessed be the name, it's fine, okay? Because it is a song. Okay? But ordinary use, don't call somebody your blessed thing, don't say that. Because it is really a small swear, a small curse on that person. It's the exact opposite meaning. Okay, so let's get it right. Okay, well, let's sing this together before we close. It's all praise to him who reigns above. Let's glory. His majesty is supreme. He gave his son for man to die that he might men redeem. What's our response? Blessed be the name. That's the whole idea. Blessed be the name. That's in spoken. But when we sing, we say, blessed be the name. Not the other way around, okay? So you have to work at these things here. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Well, that's what we want to do, right? His name shall be Counselor, Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. That is a beautiful way of writing these things here. Okay, blessed be the name. Let's try this together.
Son for men to die, then he might marry. ask the Lord to bless. Our Father, we thank you that we can be challenged to bless your holy name. And each time we speak of your name, may we learn, like the Jews, to bless that holy, holy name. And we pray, Father, that you will teach us to remember all your blessings and all that you have done and all that you have said, all that you have taught. May there be eternal gratitude. May our hearts be challenged to bless your name always. And so we pray, Lord, that you will help us to find special meaning and joy in praising your name, blessing your name. We pray that you will confirm what we have read tonight in your word in our lives. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here and have a wonderful week ahead and really rejoice in the Lord and bless his name. Blessed week, not a blessed week. You have a blessed week ahead of you. Okay? Geraldine?